Good evening to everyone and welcome to the Bible study. And today I'm really excited because we are going to start a new book from the Bible, and that is the book of Romans. I always intended to take a study from the book of Romans, and this is a great opportunity for all of us to learn from this great book. And before we start looking into the chapters, I thought let me give you a brief introduction about the book of Romans. Firstly, let's start with the city of Rome. Rome in Paul's day was the capital of an empire which stretched from Britain to Arabia. It was the greatest city in the world. It was considered as the city of civilization, the Mecca of poets and orators and artists. It was wealthy, cosmopolitan, and the diplomatic and trade center of the known world. Now, the Roman peace made travel safer, though never quite free from danger. Roman roads made it relatively swift and easy. Now, visitors from Rome heard Peter's first sermon in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. Now, it is also said that Rome was known for its immorality, materialism, idolatry, greed, pride, drunkenness, sin, and wickedness. This is a gist about the city of Rome. Now, obviously, the author of this book, the book of Romans, is Paul the Apostle. We see his signature in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. And it is believed to have written between AD 57 and 58. The theme of the book of Romans is the righteousness of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. It says, "For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." And the text is taken from Romans 1:17, that is, the just shall live by faith. The theme is the righteousness of God, and the text is the just shall live by faith. Now, in these epistles, the righteousness of God is magnified. Even as David of old cried, "Save or deliver me in thy righteousness." Now, it was this verse that Martin Luther writes that he hated the word the righteousness of God, by which he has been taught according to the custom and the use of all teachers, that God is righteous and punishes the unrighteous sinner. So the young Luther could not live by faith because he was not righteous, and he knew it. But he writes, "At last, meditating day and night, by the mercy of God, I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that through which the righteous live by a gift of God, namely by faith." And he says, "Here I felt as if I were entirely born again and had entered paradise itself through the gates that has been flung open." Also, many have found the same deliverance from perplexity when through this glorious unfolding of the righteousness of God as revealed in the gospel. They saw how God can save yet be righteous. Now we need to understand, if we fail to see this as we study the book of Romans, the epistle of Romans, we have missed the great purpose for which it was given of God. In Romans, we have the gospel taught to believers or saved people, rather than gospel being preached to unsaved sinners. It is very important to see this. In order to be saved, It is only necessary we trust in Christ or put faith in Christ. But in order to understand our salvation and also to enjoy the blessings and the joy of our salvation, and God intends us to do that, we need to have the work of Christ unfolded to us. And this is what the Holy Spirit does in the book of Romans. It unfolds the work of Christ in us. It is written to people already who are saved to show them that the secure foundation upon which their salvation rests, namely the righteousness of God. When we understand this, our doubts and fears are gone. Now, Romans was probably written during Paul's third missionary journey from Corinth, for Paul recommended Phoebe to the Romans. Now we see her name in Romans chapter 16. Phoebe was a deaconess from Kenchrea, the eastern seaport of Corinth. It is also believed the letter was sent by this godly woman Phoebe, who had been called to Rome on business. Think of the grace that entrusted this matchless epistle to the feeble hand of a woman in times such as those. The whole Church of God throughout the centuries owes to Phoebe a debt of gratitude, and to the God who watched over her for the preservation of the valuable manuscript, which she delivered safely into the hands of the elders at Rome and through them to us. Now, Martin Luther said about the letter to Romans like this: "This epistle is the chief book of the New Testament." He says, "The purest gospel. It deserves not only to be known word for word by every Christian, but to be the subject of his meditation day by day, the daily bread of his soul. The more time one spends on it, the more precious it becomes and better it appears." It is considered Romans is Paul's theological masterpiece and one of the most important documents in the history of the world. Now let's see the object of Paul's writing. Now there is a saying or a proverb in the days of Paul. It goes like this: all roads lead to Rome. Now Paul was a strategist. He was a strategist of Christian missions. He had an eye for the layout of territory like a great commander. He had plans to visit Rome and preach the gospel. From Rome, Paul could reach the gospel, for if all roads led to Rome, just as surely all roads led from Rome. When Paul wrote to the church at Rome, he was writing to a church which he has not founded and has no personal contact. That explains why in Romans there are so few of details of practical problems which fill others' letters. In almost all his other letters, he is dealing with immediate problems, some pressing situations. For example, if you see the church at Corinth, there was tolerating sin within the church. If you see the church at Galatia, they wanted to go back under the yoke of bondage of the law. It was threatened by Judaism. If you see the church at Colossae, it was threatened by Judaism and Gnosticism, isn't it? And if you see the church at Ephesus, it was confronted by wrong teachings. There were some immediate problems in the church, some pressing situation, some current error, some threatening dangers which was causing trouble for the church to which he was writing. The church at Jerusalem was the parent church of them all, but it was poor, and Paul had organized a collection throughout the younger church for it. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 11. when Paul wrote Romans, he was about to set out with the gift for the Jerusalem church. We find that recorded in Romans 15, verse 25. Paul knew that the journey to Jerusalem was not without its danger. By going to Jerusalem, he was risking his life. So he was desperately in need of the prayers of the Roman church as he set out on this expedition. So he was asking for the prayers of the church before he embarked on this perilous undertaking. All his life, Paul had been haunted by the thought of Rome. It has always been one of his dreams to preach there. When he was in Ephesus, he was planning to go through Achaia and Macedonia again. And then he writes a sentence that comes quite obviously straight from the heart. And we see in Acts chapter 19 and verse 21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. When he was up against things in Jerusalem, and the situation looked threatening, and the end seemed near, he had one of those visions which always lifted his heart. In that vision, the Lord stood by him and said, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must bear witness also at Rome. We find in Acts 23 and verse 11. In the very first chapter of Romans, Paul's desire to see Rome breathes out. He says, for I long to see you, and I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may establish. We find that in Romans 1 and verse 1. Verse 11. Also Romans 1:15. It might well be said that the name Rome was written on Paul's heart. Paul was longing to go to Rome and to preach the gospel there, to bear some fruit. Now, what is the purpose of writing? Paul has several reasons for writing the epistle of Rome to the Romans. Paul wished to evangelize Spain, Romans chapter 15 and verse 24. To do so, he needed a local church from which to launch his ministry, a church that would be much closer to Spain. By writing Romans, he was preparing the Roman church for the day when he would reveal his vision to them. He was making them familiar with his name, his mission, and his love. Secondly, Paul has a personal desire to visit and witness in Rome itself. His lifelong strategy has been to evangelize the great metropolitan cities along the route that stretched from Jerusalem to Rome. We know that Rome was the capital, the center of the world. It provided the greatest opportunity for world evangelism. A Rome conquered for Christ means a world conquered for Christ. Someone said that. And we see, thirdly, Paul was not sure he would ever reach Rome personally. He was going to Jerusalem and knew the danger. There was a chance that he might be killed in Jerusalem. So he requested the church at Rome to pray for him. The church has to be rooted and grounded in faith. Therefore, he sat down and wrote this great letter. Now let's see something about the church at Rome to which Paul has written this letter. The church at Rome was a lay church and consisted both of Jews and Gentiles. Yet it had grown in importance without the benefit of direct apostolic guidance and teachings. Traditions to the contrary, notwithstanding, there is no biblical or reliable traditional evidence to support Peter or any other apostle being the founder of the church in Rome. It was probably started by Jews who returned there after being converted and baptized under Peter's preaching in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. We see that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 10. Others contend that Priscilla and Aquila founded the church because they were in Rome in AD 49 before being expelled by Claudius, the Roman emperor. Acts chapter 18 and verse 2. In addition, it is possible that converts from other churches started by Paul in Macedonia, Asia, or Greece migrated to Rome and helped to strengthen and establish the church in Rome. This is the brief introduction of the book of Rome. If you see the outline of this epistle, the epistle to Romans can be divided into three great divisions. Now, firstly, from chapter 1 to 8 is doctrinal, the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. From chapters 9 to 11, it is dispensational, the righteousness of God in his revelation, in his relationship with Israel. And chapter 12 to 16 is practical, the righteousness of God producing practical righteousness in the believer. In the next class, we'll be looking into chapter 1 of the book of Romans.